Hey guys, today on the show, we're going to listen in on a conversation with Sage Steele, longtime ESPN on-air personality. She hosted SportsCenter, many other shows, including NBA Countdown, during her 16 years with the company. And she had a very public sort of divorce with ESPN, if you will, a month or so ago. And we had a chance to catch up with her on the Transformed podcast that Jade McCarthy hosts here on Sports Spectrum's podcast network. Sage talks a lot about growing in her faith and making a very public pivot, the importance of staying humble and leading with love. Sage Steele, longtime ESPN personality, my former colleague at ESPN, along with another former colleague, Jade McCarthy. We're going to be a part of this conversation coming up in just a moment here on Sports Spectrum. First, I want to tell you about our partners, our friends at Athletes in Action, a sports ministry that has done incredible work on college campuses, pro locker rooms, and countries all across the globe as sports missionaries. And they're seeing influential athletes all over the world come to know Jesus. But there's just one thing. They need Bibles. In fact, Athletes in Action needs more Bibles, and here's what's really cool. You and I can partner with Athletes in Action right now. It's just $22 a month, and that provides three athletes with Bibles each and every month. And these are athletes not just in the U.S., but all around the world. So when you sign up to provide three Bibles with a monthly gift of $22, you'll be serving those athletes with God's Word. But guess what? You'll also get a free copy of our Sports Spectrum Increase 52-week devotional. So you sign up, $22, Bibles for athletes, and then we're going to give you that free gift. Our Sports Spectrum Increase 52-week devotional book, you'll get for free. Here's what you got to do. Simply text the word SPORTS, S-P-O-R-T-S, to 71326 to help provide Bibles to athletes today. Again, text 71326, text the word SPORTS, S-P-O-R-T-S, to help now. You can also visit their website, athletesinaction.org/give/sportsspectrum. athletesinaction.org/give/sportsspectrum, or text the word SPORTS to 71326. Message and data rates may apply. Available to U.S. addresses only, with Athletes in Action. We also want to say thank you to our partners, Compassion International, the most trusted child development ministry in the world. Check them out at compassion.com/sportsspectrum to learn how you can sow into the ministry of compassion and sponsor a child, releasing a kid from poverty. There's children all around the world waiting to have a chance, waiting to be released from poverty. You can go to compassion.com/sportsspectrum to learn more and pray about sponsoring a child today.
I am super excited about my guest today. I actually have two of them, which is even more fun. But let me start with the first, who I have now known her for more than a decade, which kind of reminds me about the passage of time and how quickly it can go. But we sat side by side several times on the SportsCenter set together. So she too is an ESPN alum. She is an Indiana U grad, and she is a mom of three. So some things that we share in common. Excited to welcome her onto the podcast, and also excited to welcome a voice familiar in this space, someone who also walked the walls of ESPN, and that would be Jason Romano. So Jason Romano, Sage Steele, so great to have you both here on Transformed.
Wow.
We're all together again.
It's an ESPN reunion. Like, this is amazing.
Cue the music, right?
Oh my gosh, this is awesome. Can I real quick just say, like, I'm going to blow Jade up right now because she, I remember talking to you when you were pregnant with your first child and you're like, yep, one and done. I'm good. And I kept saying, girlfriend, no. So beautiful. And I mean, you were the perfect pregnant girl on national TV. And you rocked it. I remember rubbing your belly like a weirdo. And now look,
you've got like, why does everybody do that, by the way? Just out of curiosity, like, why does everybody do that when you're pregnant? The rub your belly thing.
I felt like we were close enough because.
Well, no, you could, but other people would do it, like at a grocery store, and you're like, "Whoa, personal space." No,
I was just, I had three and wanted four, and I was envious that you were pregnant. And I was like, I want to do it, and I couldn't. And now you've got like 12 kids.
No,
like,
I do not have 12.
Wanting one to 12, like you crack me up, and I'm so glad that it happened this way.
Well, I have the four, so I guess, you know, go figure. But the passage of time, like I said, it's just one of those things that you're like, wow, man, I was thinking about it as we were getting ready to record this. And I was like, I was like doing the math, right? And I was like, I've known Sage for like 12 years. That's crazy.
I can't believe it.
I know.
Seven, Sage, when you first started, when I think you were working on First Take initially, weren't you, when you first started? And that's when I was working with you.
Started actually on SportsCenter and bombed. And so they quickly moved me to doing just SportsCenter updates on Mike and Mike and First Take before they started to let me fill in again on SportsCenter after a couple of years. And so, yeah, 07 primarily just update girl on First Take and Mike and Mike.
Wow.
How it all changes, right? Like, what do you think? I mean, the show is called Transformed, right? So you think about the transformations that you have gone through personally, professionally, all of it from like then to now, Sage, like how would you even describe that?
I should have put two and two together with the title of your show. And now you're making me think about it live. You know, it's overwhelming and awesome. And very humbling at the same time. I was a different person in 2007. And I'm still the same person here where it matters, I think, in my heart and how I treat people and how I view the world. Well, kind of, that part's changed. That part's transformed too, actually. But as far as being really fearful of my own shadow at times, you know, much less other people and bosses and the public and fear of disappointing the world. Most importantly, the people next to me, you know, my friends and family. And that certainly translated into coworkers and leadership. And oh, gosh. So that's probably the biggest way that I've transformed is to just let go of the pressure that I always put on myself to be so perfect. And that certainly has affected every aspect of my life.
Yeah, that's good, Sage, because I think we all evolve as we get older, right? And we all have different seasons of life that we think about. Like when we think about when we all first met, gosh, that was such a different time for so many, for all of us in terms of where we stand today versus where we were. I'm curious spiritually how you've transformed over the past few years, because I know that's been a big part of your life and growing in a relationship with God and just understanding a little bit more about your faith.
Oh, again, completely transformed, evolved. I've always had a strong faith. I grew up Catholic and still practicing Catholic. I have the most wonderful priest in my life that he's just awesome. He's texting me last night. We text all the time. We're friends. He'll get done with mass and I usually end up going alone now. I only have one kid left at home now. The other two are in college and she is working all day Sundays. And so I go by myself and usually I'll wait afterwards till the whole crowd passes and, you know, shake his hand and I'll stay and we'll talk for an hour sometimes about just life. And that's really, he has changed me because I think I was disenchanted so much with the Catholic Church in some ways and just in general kind of organized religion. And not that something bad happened, but there's just, it was exhausting for me. And he brought me back, so to speak, in a really kind way, just through conversation. And I think one of the coolest things has been, and this is very recent, I mean, this is within the last 6 months, where now I'm proud to speak publicly about it, where before it was always just super private. You know, listen, I think even as Catholics, like, you go to church and you do your thing and it's very meaningful. It's not just robotic. But you know, one of the reasons I love Catholicism is because I feel like I can go to any church in the world and walk in and feel comfortable and know what to do and know many of the hymns and know what to say. And so I am okay now owning that. And some people bash the church and I teach his own. For me though, to finally be okay talking publicly about it, and the way it happened, and I'll be quiet, I know I'm talking too much already, shocker. I was asked in the spring by a good friend of mine, who works with NASCAR, to come to, it was the Speedway in Austin, Texas, COTA, and to give the invocation at the NASCAR race. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you want me to what? You want me to pray publicly? You don't do that. Catholics don't pray out loud in church. And then when you say grace, and otherwise it's all very private. It's the way I thought. And so she's like, yeah, girl, you can do this. And I was like, no. And she's like, yes. She's a friend to push you out of your comfort zone. That's what true friends do, you know, especially if they, sometimes they believe in us more than we believe in ourselves. So long story short, I did it. And I was more scared than I'd been about anything in maybe since I first started on TV in 1995. Like I wanted to vomit. And I had, and you have to have like exactly 30 seconds because the flyover, and then this is live on Fox. And in front of 150,000 people in front of you. So I was like, no, I'm, you know, to pray in front of all those people. And right as I was getting ready to walk out on stage, you guys, they had me behind the black curtain. It's a massive stage. And I'd memorized it. I didn't want to do notes, memorized it. And all of a sudden my mind went blank. And I was like, oh, it's gone. Like, what am I going to do? And I almost ran away. I wanted to run. And my aunt taught me something a couple of years ago when all the, my kind of chaos began at work. And she reminded me, and it hit me at that moment. When you feel that way, when you feel scared, when you want to run, when you don't trust, she says, I trust in you.
Right.
And that's what I said at that moment. And I took a deep breath and I said it like 3 times and they introduced me and I walked on that stage and they gave me the microphone and my mind was blank and they introduced me and I just closed my eyes and somehow it perfectly, every word that I had wanted to say came out perfectly in front of the world. And I got off the stage and I cried and my girlfriend who was there, she cried and I had drivers and like pit crew guys coming up to me and stopping me and saying how much my words resonated. So I get emotional talking about it because what if I had listened to those fears, you know, especially for something that was so personal. So at that moment, I think it was in March or May, whichever one, it changed me for life to get out there publicly and say it. I'm sad that it took so long. I'm 50. I wish it had happened a long time ago, but this was God's plan, I guess. And now once you have that fearlessness with everything, but especially with your faith, it is powerful. And it's been really cool to see.
Mm. Yeah. Faith over fear, right? I mean, it is hard to get to that point. And just having that trust, right? Like you said, Jesus, I trust in you. And like knowing that if it's what he wants for you, it's going to happen. Like that's it. And, yeah. and there's no way to stop it. So however it is, like however age you are or whatever age you are, when you reach that point and you have that, like you said, it is transformational. It is life changing. And I wonder what that has then put on your heart and your mind that now that you're there, you're like, well, what, God, what do you want me to do with this? Right? Like, where does that sort of thought take you, Sage?
With my faith, being out open about my faith or in general? Yeah. Right now, I just feel like whenever I have an opportunity, I speak about it. There have been many, many people who've asked me, gosh, how have you gotten through the last couple of years? You know, at work professionally and personally, a lot of stuff personally too. And number one, I know why. Like it's awesome to know. I've always felt that God had a plan for me. You know, sometimes though we get in our own way and his way and we try to control it. So I finally let go of that. And that was kind of cool. And then, you know, my parents have always raised us to just rely on God. And I just fully let go. So along with God and then my parents who have at times had to come here to my home and like lift me off the ground. I was like, I can't do it. Can't do it. Can't do it. And, prayed with me. There's one moment in particular I can share later maybe, but just about when I was coming back from my suspension, when I'd been suspended at ESPN and a moment there with prayer that my dad kind of, you know, the old football coach gathered us and, gave me some, I don't know, strength to walk in there again, you know? But that's the only reason I've been able to get through things is because of my faith. And I just love that I'm able to, I'm not afraid to share it anymore. So I don't know what he wants me to do with it, except to keep doing this and being fearless about it, no matter what people say or how they judge me, because they will. But it's kind of nice to not care anymore.
Hmm. What did your dad say to you that night?
My mom and dad had come because not only had I been suspended and certainly just scared for my future, I had gotten COVID after I got the shot that I didn't want to get that got me in trouble for speaking about. So it was a whole mess and I was physically not great. So they came down, even though it was ill-advised because my dad has two kinds of cancer, and to be around a COVID patient. This is 2 years ago too. A lot has changed certainly, that's what moms and dads do. That's what we do, right? You're there for your kid. Even if your kid's old,
you just go
and they did, and they came. And so when I was so scared to walk back onto ESPN campus, my best friend Tiffany was here, and you guys know Tiffany.
I love Tiffany.
Yes. She began as just one of the makeup artists who made me feel good and pretty and confident to go on.
There's no just about Tiff. No. Like, she is a rock star. Just the best. For all listeners, Tiff is a rock star.
100%. But what I meant was she started as just makeup, which is a difficult job, putting us on national TV every day.
Totally.
And she evolved into my best friend in the world. She's like my kids like her more than me. She's part of the family. She's Auntie Tiff. Actually, she's Tiffany. She's Tiance. I'm Stella. Stella and Tiance. It'll be a movie someday.
Yes.
She was
it
here.
Totally.
She
will.
Yeah. Just fixed my face as I was driving into work, and my parents here, and my dad's like, "Come on, girls, huddle up." And he recited one of the prayers that we say at Catholic Church, at Saint Michael the Archangel, and I don't have fully memorized, so if you're interested, you guys should go look it up, because it's really amazing, and it just casts away evil spirits and gives you strength walking into any place. And so he had memorized it and gathered us up and said that prayer, and to basically, again, cast away any bad anything and be protected. And so that's how I walked out the door. I said, "I love you guys." I felt stronger, and I drove in, and I was shaking. But I, as soon as I walked in those doors, and you guys know the doors, I just deep breath, calmed down, and walked in and did it. And that was like October 16th or 18th, 2021. And every single day from that moment on, when I drove into work, I'd park the car, finish putting my mascara on in the parking lot, call my parents, and we'd recite that prayer every single day until my last day at work, which was, I believe, July 27th or 28th, 2023. So no matter what was coming at me, and I felt a lot when I was there, when you're suing a company and then you're still on their airwaves every day, and there'd been a lot of stuff, it was definitely a unique situation. And by the way, there were a lot of very kind people too, so many. But that gave me strength that I felt untouchable in that way, because I knew it was so much bigger than me or any feeling anybody might throw at me. Like, I knew I was protected. And so Saint Michael the Archangel and the Colonel huddling us up, I'll never forget that moment. I'm so grateful.
So much of transforming is pivoting in life, and sometimes those pivots come personally, professionally, spiritually, even what we've talked about. Both of you guys have went through pivots that were public. Very, and Jade, your pivot was a little different, certainly leaving ESPN than Sage's. But I'm curious, Sage, I'd love for you to speak into this, what this pivot has been like, because it's only been a couple of months, but it's been so public in your pivot, leaving ESPN and everything that took place when you said goodbye to that place, and, you know, seeing you on all of these different shows. It's been a very public goodbye, if you will, from ESPN, and maybe yours wasn't, Jade, initially. But I'd be curious to know how you said there people were kind at ESPN, which is good. I like hearing that. But how has it been kind of behind the scenes? Obviously, we're not naming names, but just publicly, maybe people are afraid to support. I know talking to they said, I can't post anything because I don't want to lose my job, but I'm all in on what Sage is doing, and I support her and I love her. There was a few people that told me that. Is that what you felt? Like, there was a lot of people who were telling you, hey, you know, I'm behind you. I just I mean, maybe they didn't even say this, but they would tell you they're behind you, but publicly they just are afraid they might lose their job.
Right.
Yes and no. I mean, the people that were outwardly kind were just some of the studio crew, the people that don't get the love and credit at ESPN.
Yeah.
But they would do it quietly sometimes in the restroom, you know, a couple young women separately came up and were like, thank you. Please, please don't be silent. Please know that you're not alone. I wish I could say something. I wish I could, you know, and then I don't have the platform is what they would say. And sometimes it'd be in a commercial break, you know, when you run to the restroom and make sure they turn my mic off, please, so I can pee.
Right. Right. I'm trusting you. This is a big thing.
Yeah. And so I made sure, you know, when they were saying that to me, I wanted to protect them for just having the courage to say something to me. I mean, I was brought to tears a couple of times, men and women, you know. I would say, yes, there were a couple of people, a handful of people, people like, you know, public facing, some of the on-air people who privately were like, I love you. Stay strong. I wish I could say something. And I'm like, oh gosh, number one, thank you. Number two, no pressure. I get it. Are you kidding me? This is why I stayed silent for so many years, because you see what happens. I've said this several times. I'm the poster child for why people stay silent. I understand it. I get it. For me, it was just enough. Enough was enough. And then there was just too much hypocrisy, especially when I was punished for being me, talking about my situation when everybody else was allowed to go next level political on our airwaves, which is not what I did. So there was just a turning point for me where it was like, enough. So I understood why nobody said anything, and I get it. There have been times, sure, through the last 2 years where I'm like, wow, if I had just bitten my tongue, continued to be silent to please the world, I wouldn't be in this situation. But it goes back to God. Like, I know it is happening for a reason. I literally feel now that I am, it's one of the reasons why I am here, is because I'm not afraid, and he's helped me to not be afraid to speak out and try to help. It's not about me anymore, but help others to not feel this fear. There were a lot of, I'll be honest. I was definitely disappointed, more than I was, happy, or I don't know the right word, with some of my friends,
sure.
Friends, you know, I don't, again, expect anybody to do anything publicly, but even privately, when you know someone's heart, when you've been friends for years and years, when you're supportive of others, publicly, much less privately, but then even privately, they kind of, you know, just don't even say, hi, how are you? Right. Or yeah, you know, and I think it's been difficult and kind of heartbreaking. But it's also been, I think, a blessing, because I know who's in my circle. It's a very small circle. I've always been really naive and too trusting. So it's taken me a long time to figure that out, be a little bit more closed maybe, and smarter maybe, not closed, because I don't ever want those that hurt to change who I am, right? Because it's very easy for us to allow pain to then make you say, okay, never mind. I used to say it, you know, living in Connecticut at first, when I'm super friendly and my kids are, and we just say hi to everybody. And here in Connecticut, they're like, what does she want from me? I'm like, no, I'm just saying hi.
I'm just being nice. Like,
yes,
I know. I get that 100%, because that's me and my kids talk to everybody.
I know Jason's from Bristol. I'm sorry, but moving up here to the Northeast was so difficult. And my kids would be like, mommy, look, I opened the door and they just walked in and didn't say, and I'm like, you keep doing it, because it is easier to just go in your shell and say, when you get your feelings hurt, just say, never mind. But that's on us if we allow that. So I just feel like, good, even though it was painful to see who really actually was my friend, I sound like a sixth grader, it needed to happen. And so needless to say, there's very few people that I keep in touch with there, very few. But I'll always wish them success, because I think deep down they're very good people. But again, I've never wanted anybody to stand up for me publicly, or even what I believe in or agree with me or not agree. I think there's a human element that we forget. And, you know, when I'm like, well, she loves you, but doesn't want to really be seen with you. That's what she told me. I'm like, So you just have to let go of it. And I wish them all well, but in no regrets. You know, I can't let that change me.
Sure. Sure. Sage Steele with us on Transformed. You know, you started talking about how when you walked in all those years ago, you know, you were this like perfectionistic, like, how do I make sure that I say this perfectly? How do I make sure that I don't upset anybody, that I kind of keep everybody close? And now, like, you fast forward and here you are and you're like, okay, like, I know I can't be perfect. And I know that I can't please everybody. Maybe a lot of people, right? Like, most. I mean, most, right? So when you sort of think about just the arc of everything that you went through to reach that point, do you feel some sense of relief now? Like, how would you describe, like, I guess emotionally, spiritually, where you are versus how it was?
Yeah, I didn't know what I didn't know at that time, you know?
Yeah.
And when you, like, I've always kind of been a fighter, even though I didn't know that I was a fighter. I look back a lot and I'm like, gosh, because I think we all, especially in this profession, we all have been told no and told that we suck and told all these things. And then you start to believe it and you're like, I'm just so grateful to be here. I'm just so grateful to be here. And it's like, good.
Right.
Let's not use that. Let's not use that. Excuse me. Yeah. Let's not lose that. However, it goes both ways. And we offered a lot to our employers as well, no matter what job we've ever worked in. And so, again, it's hard sometimes for me to look back at that fearful young woman, especially when I started at ESPN. And when I started there, my kids were 11 months old, 2 and 4.
Right.
And wow. Just at that time in 2007, it was a very different time there as far as being a young mother. And especially in the spotlight right away. I don't know that there's any network that's like, hi, come on in and we'll help you adjust. No.
Oh, no. It's like, we needed you here yesterday. So get at it. Hurry up. Go. Like.
Yeah. And so I think I emotionally, where am I with that? Listen, I'm really proud of myself for finally letting go of it. It's exhausting to try to be perfect in every way and to try to please the world. And I also, you know, I don't want my girls to feel like I did for all this time. And so, and my son to, in the same way. And they've seen their mom transform, right? And also, you know, I remember when I got the NBA Countdown job in 2013, it happened like 2 weeks before the season began.
Yeah.
They had fired Mike Wilbon from that position, which was dumb. And then because Mike was gone, Magic quit. And then it was just Bill Simmons and Jalen, and it was like this mess. And they just were like, hey, we need a host. Will you come? And I was like, oh, okay. Like, what do you do? And so within a week, my whole life changed. And I was then, instead of going in, driving 20 minutes to work, and I was doing the 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Sports Center at that time. So I got to work out in the morning, get my kids on the bus, write the show, go to work, write the show, get on the air, off the air, in my car at 3:05, at the bus stop by 3:45. It's like I didn't work. I was there for every moment with my kids, and tired, but on it. And then all of a sudden it was, okay, on Wednesdays or Thursdays, you're going to fly from Hartford to Los Angeles, and you're going to work with this whole new crew, some of whom didn't want you there. And I didn't know that till I got there. And then come back on Sunday, red eye to Monday. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, with three kids. And I had just signed up to be the room mom for all three kids, because you can't let one feel unloved by not being the room mom in their class. Right. Again, that's what I did to myself. And every Wednesday night before I left, I would stay up pat till like midnight and make banana bread for them, because I thought, this is where I can't, because I thought, if I'm not there, then, at least they know that I cared and that I'm part of me is there with banana bread, like random. Right. But it was just such a struggle. I just didn't want to let them down or my husband down. And at the time, my husband, and try to give him a break from having to cook every morning with three little ones. And so it just, and then flying on red, like I was exhausted and I finally was, I crashed, you know? So it affected my every part of my life, I guess, is my point. And no one did that but me. So I think when I let go of the pleasing, actually, that led to it, those moments, which I don't regret, you know. But once I realized that no matter how hard of a worker you are, or how loyal you are to your team, or how nice you are, or friendly you are, or whatever, when you're hated for your opinions, even though you're nice and doing the right things in the most important ways, you got to let go of it. So once I started to kind of get crushed for having a couple of random opinions, back when I was much less controversial, I was like, wow, I'm nice, I'm good, I'm loyal, and they still hate me. So it's like, at that point, that's on me if I'm going to continue to try to please them, you know? But it affected every aspect of my life.
There's so much that comes with being a public figure. I'm thinking of a Bible verse. John 3:30 is John the Baptist talking about Jesus and saying he must increase, we must decrease, talking about the increase in Christ and the decrease of self. And Sage, while these people, good and bad, have brought you these worldly praise or these worldly critical, you know, thoughts and criticism that's come your way, how have you been able to, and maybe this is still a work in progress too, but how have you been able to kind of stay focused on Christ, right? Lock eyes on him and not lock eyes on what other people think. And you've talked a little bit about that here already, but even the praise, if we get caught up in worldly praise, man, I heard somebody say ego is easing God out. And if our ego becomes big, too big for us, you know, we're not giving, you know, room for God to work in the way that he can. How have you seen that sort of work in your life, especially these last few years where everything's kind of become so much more public?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've always had trouble accepting compliments. And I realized that by being like, no, you know, you did a great job, or you, what is it? You know, anything, you know, you look great these days. Wow, you look like you're in shape. Oh my gosh, I'm not in shape. I haven't run all week. We immediately, you know, are negative towards ourselves. And I realized that then you start to believe it. And again, most importantly, your kids watch everything. And so they were seeing me like make myself smaller and not be grateful for someone's kind words when they didn't even have to take the time to say that, you know? So you know, there's a line to it, certainly. And I've always been humble. And I think that you can be confident and believe in yourself and be strong and stand up for yourself, but still maintain that humility. It's actually crucial. Listen, I still go back to that 11-year-old kid who had this crazy dream to be a sportscaster and to be on TV when I was so shy, I didn't even talk to many other people outside of my family. Like, I was crazy, weirdly shy. My parents literally watched me on TV every single day at ESPN for almost 17 years because it was like, who is this person? What have you done with my Sage? Because they had to literally pull me out of my shell. So you look at from where I came as a kid and so shy and having to push through it. And all the years of being told how terrible I was because I talk too fast and I don't look like other anchors and look at your hair and look at your, and so I believed all that for a long time. And then when I got to, you know, you move up, you're like, oh my gosh, thank you for having me. Thank you for hiring me, ESPN. Thank you. Which I meant, but it's like, wait, they're not doing you favors. Any business is only hiring you if they think that you can do something good for them as well. It's a team, it's a partnership. They don't do favors at our level, you know? And I think we're all very clear on that. So yep. Yeah. Right. Oh my gosh. I just really, that's one of the things that actually bums me out the most about our industry is how so many people allow it to go to their head and affect them. And I think you see that the most in the way they treat others. Mm-hmm. And there are several people who are still representing ESPN on our airwaves there that I see it, and it broke my heart because I had them on pedestals. You know what I mean? And most of them are have moved on or are gone, but it's like, oh my gosh, yes, you are great at your job, but who cares if that's how you treat the kid running the teleprompter or the researcher or the producer, right? And I think that used to break my heart. And I'm like, what are you doing? That's why I think I think that's one of the things I'm most proud of is no matter what happened. Again, you can be firm and you can hold people accountable. But you can do it with kindness. And I felt like that crew every day, the ones that were in the trenches with us in the studio, and the producers, like the directors and, you know, Kaylin Flockhart and my co-host Matt Berry, like we rocked it and we stayed humble and we laughed at ourselves, you know? So in anything we do, no matter how much success, if you don't maintain that humility, that's on you. And it's just not the example that we need to set. So I've tried to find the balance between not accepting a compliment, right? Let's accept it, have the grace with it and say, thank you. And take that in, because I know that all of us, the three of us, are also very hard on ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that's not what God wants either.
Right. Sage, this has been so great. It's been really fun to catch up. Thanks for being here.
Listen, thank you for having me. You two are doing God's work, obviously. You really are. And I know that it has not been easy for you two to get to this point. And listen, we all have this in common. I think anybody watching, listening, it's never just a straight road anywhere. Yeah. Right? Look at Jason's face. He's like, nope.
Life is not linear.
No, man. But I don't know. How do you feel? Because to me, I literally would not change a thing. Even the times when I was broken and scared and sick physically and mentally, I wouldn't change it. Like, we're right where we're supposed to be. And what you're doing takes a lot of courage. And I've loved seeing your growth too. It's really cool.
Mm. Yeah, I echo that. Good job, Jade. You're awesome.
Oh, me. I thought it was going towards you, Jason, all the way. So
no, it's so cool to you. And I love that you're doing it together. And look at the full circle of all of this. Look at us.
I know. It's so, you know, it is funny, like, to go back and think about, you know, where we all were and how we all intersected, and, you know, that God had this great plan that none of us had any idea of, that we would all be sitting here having this conversation.
You're helping people, though. You're helping people be more comfortable to speak about it, right? And I've seen several people who left ESPN for one reason or another over the last several years. And I think that we are so grateful for our time, right? Really? I'm grateful for every moment. But I think we get in this like bubble. You don't realize there's a lot out there and a lot of things that are much more important than sports.
Yep.
And you two are proof of that.
And many thanks to Sage Steele as she joined Jade McCarthy and myself on the Sports Spectrum Transformed podcast. Jade normally hosts that solo, but she was kind enough to invite me in sort of an ESPN reunion, if you will, with Sage and Jade and myself. I worked with them for many years. We all worked together for many years, and it was a lot of fun having a little reunion of sorts and talking about deep matters, right? Talking about things like staying humble and leading with love and Jesus, most importantly, Jesus, and making a public pivot like Sage did and like Jade did as well. So be praying for Sage. Be praying that God gets a hold of her and that the Holy Spirit enters into her life and allows her to walk in a way that is pleasing to God and continuing to follow him. And certainly, it's not easy when you're a very public figure and you had a very public story, I guess, written about yourself and leaving ESPN. So let's be praying for Sage, and we just appreciate her and Jade having that conversation on the Transform podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening to it here on the Sports Spectrum podcast. Of course, you can find all of our content at sportsspectrum.com. All of our content. I'm talking about articles, devotionals, all of our podcasts. You can listen to Jade's show right there, the Transform podcast, right on sportsspectrum.com. Of course, all of our podcasts can be found everywhere you listen to podcasts, on whatever app, whether it's Spotify or Apple or wherever you listen to podcasts. But all of our content can be found at sportsspectrum.com. You can even subscribe to our Sports Spectrum magazine, which will soon be releasing our winter edition with Dude Perfect on the cover. That's right, Dude Perfect. We haven't really publicly shared too much about that yet, but Dude Perfect's going to be on the cover of our next magazine. So if you have kids, parents listening with kids, you need to get a copy of our Sports Spectrum magazine. You can do all of that at sportsspectrum.com. Thanks for tuning in. We love you guys. We'll see you next time here on the Sports Spectrum podcast. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you soon.